We are in the age that the rapture will take place. The seed that was planted at Pentecost, it died at Nazir, but it sprang up again through this last three church ages. We are the three works of grace: justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we are destroyed totally, so that what salvation is all about, people didn't know it again. And up till now, they are still in the confusion that Satan unleashed against the church during the dark ages. Christianity has been misrepresented, misplaced, wrongly taught, and the devil succeeded. When you go to any church and you see women not covering their hair, your hair is your glory. It means that church, the word of God, is not protected. But the word of God is the glory of God. When you see them sitting down there with their hair uncovered, watch very well. This will be confirmed there. The word of God is not protected. So that you know how to identify a true church. And when you see women cutting their hair, it means that church has come to an estate where the word of God is now also cut, removed. They don't accept the totality of the word anymore. That is where you will see the bar of the gospel has been lowered. And they do that to enable everybody to come into the church. There are some of these churches, if you see them, if you hear their history of how they started and where they are today, then you will understand the story of Samson. By the time the church reached that estate, Samson's hair has been completely removed. The word of God completely scraped out of the church. Immediately Samson's hair was removed, they had another target. They removed his eye. That's the reason why the whole church, only one man, they see vision. Only one man be prophet. The rest of you, God, your eye has been plucked off. No more gifts. But more importantly, no more revelation. The church of Jesus Christ, no more revelation. Amen. Anyway, even if I don't go further, somebody, you should know which church now to join. Now you should know which one is a true church and which one is a deluded church. And most of, in fact, all the denominational churches are deluded. Deluded. And there are people carrying the sermon books of William Branham that are more deluded than the denominations. By their fruit, you will know them. That is the hair. Let's move away from the hair. Hallelujah. Immediately, Samson's hair was removed. They had another target. They removed his eye. They removed his eye, oh! Amen. That's the reason why the whole church, only one man, they see vision. Only one man be prophet. The rest of you, God, your eye has been plucked off. No more gifts. But more importantly, no more revelation. The church of Jesus Christ, no more revelation. See, does it not make you wonder that a doctorate degree holder, master's degree holder in mathematics, cannot decode Matthew 28 verse 19? Baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He cannot decode it. The eye has been plucked off. Samson, wake up! Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Where are the benefits of the cross? Where are the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the church of Jesus Christ? Where are they? Where are they? Why are you running from post to post looking for healing and deliverance? Didn't he tell you, behold, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation? Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. If they say, no, he is at the Kotu, don't go there. Look, praise God. Can I tell you something? The bride of Jesus Christ, this is what we are seeking for. Where there is truth. Where there is truth. There is no short demand or supply of anointing. It is a famine of the word of God. What excites every true bride member is this truth preached, the Bible made understood. So if you say Jesus is at the Kotu, it's a lie. Jesus is at the Ibadan Expressway, it's a lie. Jesus is at the Wari, it's a lie. Jesus himself says so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is within you. God is in his word. If his word is in you, he is in you. So Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 22. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Why then is the health of the daughters of Israel not healed? Is there no balm again? Is there no healing again in the church of Jesus Christ? Why will you say you are a pastor and you are watching over people that look for help and they cannot find help in that ministry? They have to jump up and down, subjecting them to all these false places all around. Something is wrong. The church, there is balm in Gilead. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The story of Samson is the story of the church, and the story of the church is a type of Israel under Ahab. In 1 Kings chapter 18, if you read it from verse 17, read it up to verse 22, you will discover that before you get to those scriptures, Ahab had gone apostate. You can read that on your own. Ahab had gone apostate. Israel has followed likewise. The condition was such that Elijah thought he was the only one. Until God had to tell him there are 7,000 that he has reserved for himself that have not bowed to Baal. And it's a type of the condition of the church today. Hallelujah. And Elijah caused the land and that there will be no rain according to his word. He was just angry. He needed something to be done. That the people's hearts will repent and come back to the worship of the true God. He cursed the land. That there will be no rain. So let everybody suffer. And Ahab knows what he did. There's nothing Ahab can do to return the land because he was the leader of the apostasy. Of the rebellion. And Elijah started hiding so that what he said, he will not reverse it. Only he can reverse it. And so that was the estate of Israel. Hunger. One day, finally he met Elijah. You are the one that troubled Israel, Abi. Elijah looked at him. It's you and your father, your children, your father's house that are troubling Israel. Now, they don't suffer rich, Abi. He said, gather all those people that you put your trust on. 400 prophets that you have. And those babalawos of the groups and those shrines. 450. 850. That they have been all around you. Let them meet me in Mount Carmel. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ahab went and gathered them at Mount Carmel. The Mount Carmel showdown. If you read it, the whole of 1 Kings chapter 18, just read it, and you will discover that it was time for a showdown. And the showdown was going to be between the followers of Elijah. Hey, the followers of Elijah ministry. There is going to be a showdown. And that showdown, I'm telling you the story of the church. Praise God. Follow me carefully so that you will know why you must take your eternal destination more seriously. The wise shall understand. Everything is here. It's all for God to cause you to understand. He blinded the eyes of some people, but he has decoded it for us, his bride. And I pray that this pulpit will continue to be a light bearer that will shine the light for the true children of God to see and line up in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gathered them, and this was what he said. How long halt you between two opinions, Israel? One leg, you carry Bible. Another leg, you are in the world. How long? If Baal be Baal, serve him. If Jesus be God, serve him. You can't serve here and serve here. One leg here, one leg there. It's not going to work. That's why you are in the condition that you are in. So, let's prove now who is right. And very soon, the church is going to have a showdown. I am telling you, it is scripture. It's scripture. And some of you may not know. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just go ahead first. Let me go ahead. I just pray I can just finish this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, choose between Baal and Jehovah God. In that story, you will notice something here. That the first thing he did was, when they called, they arranged the altar the way they wanted to arrange it. They called, with all the vigil, nothing happened. He was even making fun of them. Maybe your own God will go sleep. But our own God neither sleeps nor slumbers. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when their own failed, he said, now. Hallelujah. Remember that through Ahab and the apostasy, all the altars were damaged. We are broken. The altars needed to be repaired. Church, listen. I am not talking the story of Israel. I am talking the story of the church. The altar that God has now is the altar of your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, all evil proceed. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where God meets with you is your heart. And their hearts were pricked when they heard the gospel. The place of interest where God will meet with you is your heart. But this heart here has been broken down, polluted by false doctrines and all the denominational hangovers we left with. The true picture of the worship of God, you don't see it anymore. Brotherly love, we don't know the definition of brotherly love again. We don't even know how to worship. We don't even know how to approach God. Our worship of God now is commercial, it's business. If you do this for me, I will do this for you, God. This is how people now worship God. If you do this for me, I will do this for you. Because that is how we are brought up. Everything you do by God is, if I do this, what will I get from it? Nobody worships God because it is our duty to worship Him. Nobody worships God for better, for worse. Why? Because of all the nonsense they have put inside of us. Our relationship with God is no more for better, for worse. We no longer realize that we have to worship God for what He has done for us and not what He will do for us. Our relationship must not be contractual. It's not a contract when you are coming to God. Stop giving God condition. Stop giving God condition. You have been taught that you cannot be blessed unless you sow a seed. It's a lie. Sowing seed is faith in action. But whether He does it or not, it will not change me. It will not change me. It will not change my relationship. Oh, who will be like Job? Who will be like Job? That all his blessings in one day were wiped away. And they came to give him news. Many of us here, we fall into depression and commit suicide. But Job had a revelation. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. That means he has always known that it's not by his power he has what he has. They afflicted him again with sickness until the wife could not bear the what she was. He said, curse God and die. But this is what he said. I want us to read it. Job. Yes. Chapter 13, verse 15. This is Job. This is Job. Everybody. Can we read it? Let's go. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Hey. Though he slay me, even like let him rubbish me, yet will I still trust in him. And I will maintain my own ways before him. I'm not a crayfish. Condition will not make me bend my feet. I will still serve him. I will still follow him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The first thing therefore Elijah did for fire to come. Hey! Praise God. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. What did he do? The first thing Elijah did was Elijah repaired the altar. Rearranged the altar. Rearranged the ministry. Rearranged the church. Rearranged. Church of Jesus Christ, listen. Part of rearranging the altar is remove that woman pastor that you ordained. Take her back to the congregation. Remove those titles you wear. Remove those clothes that you wear. Remove that seat you put at the altar like a king in his palace. Remove all the nonsense you people are doing there. And as for us, rearrange the altar of your heart. Concerning the church, praise the Lord. It is part of rearranging the altar that the restoration ministry came about. Because there will be a falling away. And it came by an anointing of Elijah. Elijah anointing to restore. The church of Jesus Christ do not know that God sent us a prophet in this age to bring us back to the apostolic faith. Elijah anointing, the first thing he did was he took 12 stones, each representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Elijah took 12 stones to restore Israel. Our Elijah, take the gospel of the apostolic faith, the 12 apostles that laid the foundation, he returned us again to the apostolic faith. Somebody, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what the entire message is. Come back to the apostolic faith. Come back to the Bible. He poured water on the burnt sacrifice. If you read it, 3 times. Why? Because he's rearranging the altar. Justification has to be restored. Sanctification has to be restored. And correct baptism of the Holy Ghost has to be restored. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Went back to that word. Hallelujah. Those 3 measures of me that were destroyed are hereby restored. Hallelujah. And when did the fire come down? is at the evening sacrifice. For at evening time there shall be light. The entire message is the evening light gospel. Because the day is closing. It's the ending of the day. For this is the age that salvation will close. And the rapture will take place. Hallelujah. So he comes to turn the heart of the people back again to God. And that is what Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6 is there for. Dual application for the Jews and also for the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. It is only then that the true worship is restored again, as we see it in verse 39. Praise the Lord. Samson was put in prison. I want you to take note of that. We can learn something from there again. That is the dark ages that the church was put into. Hallelujah. It was put in there. For 1,000 years, that dark black horse rider was riding in Revelation chapter 6. That was the dark ages. The light was totally quenched. Samson was in prison. But while he was in prison there, amen, they would take him and come and make sport. They would take him and come and entertain people. This is the one that has been troubling us. That's exactly what Satan is doing with the churches. Come and see what they are doing. Making caricature of Christianity. The Philistines that we are supposed to finish, they are the one finishing us. Oh, may God help the church of Jesus Christ. While he was in prison, the Bible says he was grinding. Hey! He was grinding in the prison house. What was he grinding? Studying the word. Coming back again. Where did I miss it? Why am I in this condition? Why am I in this estate? Oh! He got it. My 7 locks were removed. The source of my strength was removed. To have it back. Let me have it back. And began to grind. And began to grind. And began to grind. Grind the word of God. Grind. And the Bible said, while he was there, the hair began to grow again. Hey, hey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Samson's hair is growing now. It has not grown fully yet. Amen. The grinding is still going on. You know, as you'll be grinding there, you'll be seeing the evidence, seeing the sign, seeing the evidence, seeing the sign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the hair grew fully. And they were looking at him. They forgot where the source of the power was. They were still doing Janinjaka entertainment. And there was something he did. Oh, glory be to God for his deliverance, for total restoration of Samson. Hallelujah. I will build my church. The church and the gate of hell cannot prevail. Nobody can defeat the purpose of God. Satan thought he would defeat the purpose of God by what he did in the Garden of Eden. But there was the seed of the woman that came back. There is the last Adam. That Garden of Eden must be occupied by Adam again. And I told you, look at it very well, that I believe Jerusalem is that place that Adam and Eve were placed. I have tried to prove that before. Because it's a point of interest. God has to show Satan you didn't succeed. You think you drove me away from the Garden of Eden? It's a lie. You've not driven me away. I will come back and put another Adam there. Hallelujah. And another Eve. And the Adam and the Eve is Christ and his bride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. His deliverance. His deliverance is the same deliverance like Isaac did. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 26 that when after the death of Abraham, the same Philistines, after the source of power of the children of God, went to the wells that Abraham dug and stopped them with earthly doctrines, covered the fountain of life. But what did Isaac do? He went back to the same wells. He didn't dig a new one. There's no new anointing. He didn't dig a new one. He dug the same thing, called them by name, the same name that the apostolic fathers called them when we call them. They did not ordain women pastors, who will not ordain women pastors. Holiness was their watchword. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. They baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who baptized the same way. They did not have headquarters with branches. They were not appointing pastors. They were not producing pastors from some schools. No. They were not commercializing the gospel. They were using the gift to bring people to the Lord and not to bring people to their bank accounts. That is the restoration ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when they brought him again to do sport as usual, to make caricature of him, he saw opportunity to be delivered. The Bible says he told them to lead him in between two pillars that held that building. He was blind. He could not see. Amen. But he needed deliverance. Brethren, there are two pillars that we must hold. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Hallelujah. For total restoration. One hand on the Old Testament, one hand on the New Testament. Some pastors said they don't need the New Old Testament. Now they are in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. No, there is the New Testament. There is the Old Testament. You cannot hold onto only one pillar and then stand. That is the reason to be balanced. God gave you two eyes, not one eye. To hear clearly, he gave you two ears, not one ear. He gave you two hands. He gave you two legs. Even kidney, two kidneys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even mouth, he gave you two mouths. The other one is not mouth. The other one is a discharge canal. Because you don't eat from the other mouth, so don't say there are three. For a woman, I'm talking to a woman in the church. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Even your teeth, there is the upper one, the lower one. Amen. Two. For balance. Old Testament and New Testament. If you hold only New Testament, you will not be balanced. If you hold only the Old Testament, you will not be balanced in your knowledge for salvation. That's why you see these Messianic people, the Jews from Igbo land. Where is Dozier? You know, there is one church that they said they are Jews. They are Messianic something, you know. All manner of interpretation. They hold only onto the Old Testament. They still make sacrifices of goats and things like that, incenses and things like that. They call all manner of names of God that they know, when God has given us one name for whereby men will be saved. What is that name? What is that name? There is one mediator between God and man. Who is that man? Jesus. For God was in him reconciling the world to himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you will understand, in Isaiah chapter 28, can we read it? From verse 8. This is the condition of the church. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. The table there is the pulpit. So that there is no place clean. That was the condition of Israel. That's the condition of the church. Even today. Then listen. Who shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who are there? This is the answer. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Did he say one breast? or plural breasts. Eh? Because for that child to be properly nourished with milk, the milk will come from the two breasts. That's why God didn't give a woman only one breast. Gave two breasts. According to Brother Wisdom, I don't know how he found out. He said he confirmed. Brother Wisdom, I don't know how you confirm. You say one breast of the woman has more sugar than the other one has more salt. So anytime the body needs sugar, you see the child will reject the side for salt. He will be looking for the other one. Then if he needs salt, if you give him the one where sugar there, he will refuse. He will come to the other one. It's by instinct so that the health can be balanced. They are the only ones, and these two breasts that God has for us to suck milk from is Old and New Testament breasts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see why you must read the Bible? To be balanced. Hallelujah. And then he went further in verse 10. What did he say? He said, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. This is the Spirit of God talking. It's not just playing with words. It's for emphasis. Here a little and there a little. Then he told them the sign they will have. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. To whom he said, this is the rest where ye may cause the weary to rest. Because Christ is the end of the law. And this is the refreshing. Yet they will not hear. Verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That they might go and fall backward. And be broken and snared and taken. Because they will have no excuse. No excuse. Wherefore here the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule these people which is in Jerusalem, the church of Jesus Christ. All of you preachers, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. And with hell are we at agreement. If not, why are you rejecting the fountain of life? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, Abi, for we are made lies. Our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Finally, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And that cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth shall not make a haste. And the church of Jesus Christ will say, the church will say, hallelujah. And the fire came down when the altar was rearranged. And through this entire message, the church of Jesus Christ has been rearranged. And it is the bride revival that is going on now. He promised that he will restore all that has been damaged. He promised. He called it the latter rain. They call it the latter rain. The revival that will sweep through. That is the second application of the John ministry. The bride has her revival. They prophesied before, we will prophesy again. The hair of Samson will grow again. Fully. And the power of God will move again in the church of Jesus Christ. Even among the Pentecostals, some of them have caught it in the spirit. I've read a few of them. I've watched a few videos of them testifying. of the coming revival. Praise the Lord. And that is what we are preparing ourselves for. The revival first starts with the individual. So we have to first rearrange the altar of our hearts. We are coming for the baptism of the Holy Ghost program. But before that fire of the Holy Ghost will come, like the tongue of fire that came on the day of Pentecost, the altar has to be rearranged. There are too many things in our hearts that blocks the flow of the Spirit of God in our lives that we have to deal with. We share the time of communion with the Holy Ghost. In our quiet time, we share it with WhatsApp, with Facebook, with internet, with YouTube, with films, with movies. So he has not had enough time to commune with us. This is a time to rearrange our heart, rearrange our thought, rearrange our bearing. The 21 days consecration period is a period for that rearrangement. Cleanse the heart. The prayer every one of us will pray is Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And you may not understand why it is very, very important that we take this program seriously. It's the most important program in this ministry, and it is the most important program in the life of every true Christian. You can go and do dry fasting to acquire material things. Fast also to position yourself to receive eternal life. Fast also to have your hair grown back. The power that sustains us restored. Fast also to get. This is a period where every one of us is supposed to be sober. Watching who we associate with. How we live our life within this period. Placing ourselves in a position where some of us will even visit us before the program starts. I believe it. Some of us, we lost the grace. This is the period to cry to God to restore. Yes, to restore. And I'm telling you this. I was telling Prophet Sunday, and I think I also told Sister Marachi also this morning. I said something began to happen because Sister Nena gave a revelation some time ago that the Lord took her and saw that so many things and said, he returned the cup that he took away from me. I mean, that was taken away from me, that the cup has been restored. And she didn't know that in 1990, there was a cup I saw in Revelation that was given to me. And things began to happen in my life, spiritually speaking, I didn't understand. But suddenly, all these things, you know, disappeared. If anybody needs restoration, I need restoration more. I know how I was before, and I know what I am now. Spiritually speaking. And you only know me, maybe as a good preacher, but I know my estate spiritually, that I used to be better than this spiritual. So, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. I said, so yesterday, because I didn't step out of my house, I don't know, something was going on. I didn't understand what was wrong with me. I didn't even bath till this morning. After vigil, till this morning, I was in my nightgown throughout. I didn't come out of my, I didn't go anywhere. I was just not myself. I didn't know what was happening to me. I was just very confused. But three times it happened to me. My left ear began to hear a breeze there. I was shake off. It happened the second time. I say, Peter said that cup won't come back. True. Before this program finished, Father, open the ear. Where? Make I hear you. Where? That is the prayer. So when I told Sunday, he said the same thing Amarachi said. He said, you won't begin here like us, Midato. Amen. Praise the Lord. I used to hear, I don't know what happened, it stopped. It will return. Not only me, all of us. Hallelujah. This is the period where somebody, I was telling God this morning, I said, clean the ear, well, this is the time I need to hear you, because sound, you go say something, so that make I hear him, make I know, make I hear him. After all, my name is Moses. And Moses had the privilege of hearing God lip to ear. I said, speak to me lip to ear. That is me. I'm challenging you to. You know how you were before, and you know who you are now. This is the period to sort it out with God and get yourself restored. All this internet is an invasion of our spiritual liberty. It is an attack. Small. And to tell you that it has possessed you in your heart now, you argue with me as I talk. You are justifying the fact that you will wake up and pray for 20 minutes and then spend 3 hours in Facebook. You are justifying it. You will not read one chapter in your Bible when you wake up or before you go to bed. Before you go to bed, we know the last thing you do. Even when you wake up in the night to go peace, when you come back, you will check whether there is any message. You do that now. Satan has invaded your spiritual life and is on an assignment to kill you. Within this period, rise above internet. Rise above Facebook, where you see nothing that adds value to your spiritual life. Nothing. Our forefathers that are in heaven now did not have internet. They had nothing to distract them. So God was close with them. But we here, uncle, see, this world is going to catch fire. This world is going to catch fire. One of these days, God is preparing a people that he will take away. After he has taken them away, the fire will come. For he is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost this June, and the fire of destruction after the rapture. He's the one that will send the fire to clean up this place. Why not get yourself ready now for home going? Opportunity has come. You're watching us from around the world. You are sitting down here now. Make heaven your priority. For this thing I am saying is something that God will use. See. Before the choir will sing that song for me, William Branham captured the need to run for safety. In a message he preached, he captured it. William Branham, if you can watch the screen, watch it. Just like Psalm 42. Watch how William Branham presented it.
As the little rabbit, the story of he, the hounds is right behind him. He could feel their hot breath upon his feet. Just a little while, another jump or two, and the hound was going to get the little fella. He'd be gobbled up just in a moment. But after a bit, he saw a hole in a rock. And he thought, if I can only get to that rock, then I'm safe. Just as a dog made the last jump at him, he felt his hot breath on his heels. But he ran under the rock. And he could sit down and let off the pressure. The hound could not scratch through that rock. Lord Jesus, I pray to thee this morning, Lord, that if some of these little creatures of yours that's wandered away from that safety zone, they can feel the breath of the hounds of hell, young women, young men, galloping right behind them, seeing their life breaking away to the other side. May they hurry this morning to this cleft in the rock. There is one. The righteous run into it and are saved. Grant it, Father. Through Jesus, thy Son, while we have our heads bowed, and your heart's bound too. Would you, if you're not in that rock this morning, would you raise your hand to God and say, God, let me come into that safety zone now, that where I can just let off the pressure. I've been a little weary. I begin to see myself drift. I felt myself get away. I haven't got the experience that I used to have. Get me back to the rock right quick, Lord. Would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Brandon. God bless you. That's good. All around everywhere. Ah, that's good. God bless you. Take me back to the rock, Lord. Take me back. I'm drifting. Oh, don't let me drift away from it. Let me do, if I'm going to eat, let me eat around the cliff. Let me stay close where the manna is falling. I don't have to wander out. The manna is laid right at the door. Heavenly Father, Thou didst see this group of hands. I pray that You will give to them their desire. May all the crust that's begin to blind them now, Lord, as their hearts are beating and their spiritual heart is beating, break away all doubt, all unbelief, all confusion, all nervousness, and wondering what's this or that, all wearies. May just now they sweetly find that the crust is being broken as they hammer their prayer against the rock. May Christ bring them up high now and set them up on a pinnacle. They can flop their little spiritual wings. Say, I'm free, I'm free.
Let me break it down. You saw that little rat. A prey was chasing it. If he catch it, it will finish him. And he began to run. Run. He was running somewhere. What is he running for? He was running to a rock. In that rock, there is a crack there. A little opening there. It is open just enough for that rat or that rabbit or whatever it is to run and enter. He knows if he enters, that big, big animal is too big to enter. So he knows he is safe. So he begins to run, wishing his heart, if I can just get to the cleft of the rock. That's why I gave rise to that song. Rock of ages, cleft for me. That cleft there. Open, open, let me enter. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the rainbow side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from rot and make me pure. And that is the cry of everyone that catches the revelation of the fire that is awaiting this world. And that's the reason why we are telling everybody now, get, make your calling and election sure. Don't joke with your life. Stop playing religion. This one will soon end. A group of people are being prepared at this age to go home. And the qualification is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. After that, the fire will fall. Let me hear you.
Oh, the judgment day. Christ for rest. George Mann,
Message. Wherever you are, stand up as I read this closing scripture. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, verse 12, 13 and 14, it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake," Samson, "awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." And finally, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And the will of the Lord is a divine agenda. The will of the Lord is this revelation is decoding for us. And I pray that as we begin this journey today, you will not fall by the wayside.